If you would turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13, starting in verse 1, says, Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan of Gilbreth of Benjamin. And the rest of the people he sent, every man to his tent. And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba, and the Philistines heard of it. And Saul blew the trumpet throughout the land, saying, Let the Hebrews hear. And all of Israel heard say that Saul had smitten a garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel was also in abomination with the Philistines. And the people were called together after Saul to Gilgal. Let us pray. Only Father, Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity this morning, Lord. I just pray, Lord, you give me the words you would have me to say, Lord, that they would be received as your words and not mine, Lord. That may we all leave different, Lord, than the way we came in, Lord. May we take the message to heart, Lord, and apply it to our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So we see here in the first part of chapter 13 that Israel was battling the Philistines. Saul was their king. And they were doing battle. It tells us there in verse 2 that Saul had numbered his men that he was taking with him and where they were doing battle at. Verse 3 tells us that the Israelites had a victory. And verse 4 tells us that everybody had heard about it. And the people were called together after Saul to Gilgal. So he was gathering his forces together. And the Philistines were in verse 5 tells us, and the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel. 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen and people, as the sand which is on the seashore, in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash, eastward from Bethaven. And when the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, then the people did not hide themselves. The people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and rocks and in high places and pits. So Israel saw they were outnumbered. They were outnumbered by the chariots 5-1, plus the horsemen. And instead of being of great faith and knowing that the Lord was going to be with them and see them through the battle, verse 6 tells us that they hid themselves. You know, I just can't help but wonder how many of us today are kind of like the Israelites. When we look at the huge mountains that are in front of us, instead of getting on our knees and praying, we go hide ourselves, both from God and from the mountain. But we see the first mistake of Israel. They had no faith. They hid themselves from the enemy. Verse 7 tells us and says, and some of the Hebrews went over to Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, Bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. And he had offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of the offering, the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, What hast thou done? And Saul said, Because I saw the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore said I, The Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself therefore and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought after him, a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord has commanded. And Samuel arose and got him up from Gilgal unto Gilbereth of Benjamin, and Saul numbered the people that were present with him about 600 men. All right, so we see Saul's second mistake. He got impatient with God. He didn't want to wait on God's timetable. I know a lot of us are just like Saul today. We want things on our time, when we want them. We live in this now world, and we want everything to happen on our timetable. We want it now, now, now. Here we see that Saul was facing, he was outnumbered, he lost his faith, and then he lost his patience with God. So those are the first two mistakes that Paul made here. Reading on in verse 16, it says, "And Saul and Jonathan his son and the people that were present with him abode in Gilbereth of Benjamin, but the Philistines encamped in Michmash. And the spoilers came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies. One company turned to the way that leadeth to Ophrah and unto the land of Shinar. And another company had turned the way to Bethron, and another company turned the way of the border that looketh to the valley of Zimron towards the wilderness." So we see that the Philistines are engaging in military tactics, and they're spreading out to combat the Israelites on three fronts. So now things are getting serious. They're outnumbered, and they're surrounded on three sides by the enemy. Verse 19 says, "Now there was no smith found throughout the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, Let the Hebrews make them swords or spears. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share and his coulter and his axe and the mattock. Yet they had a file for the mattocks and for the coulters and for the forks, for the axes and to sharpen the goads. So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan. But with Saul and with Jonathan, his son was found. And the garrison of the Philistines went out to the passage of Michmash." All right. So we see here in chapter 13, Saul is leading his army of Israel into battle with the Philistines. We see that the first mistake was Saul lost his faith in God to carry him through the battle, even though he was outnumbered. His second mistake was he got impatient with God, and he wanted everything on his timetable and didn't want to wait on Samuel. Then verse 19 shows us they have a big problem. They had no blacksmith to make them any swords or spears. I mean, now think about it. If we were to take this to modern day, can you imagine the United States of America being at war and not having anybody to make our tanks, our ships, or our airplanes? That was basically the situation that the Hebrews were in. They had no blacksmith. The Bible doesn't tell us why. We don't know if they just gave up, if they found an easier way to make a living, they decided the work was too hard and there was an easier way to make money. We don't know if they got taxed out of business, regulated out of business. It doesn't explain to us. We just know that they weren't there when they were needed. Ephesians 6:12 tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So when we think about the swords and the spears, while they were physically using swords and spears, if you think about us today, the Bible tells us we're not to fight our battles physically, we're to fight them spiritually. And in the New Testament, it tells us, what is our sword? It's the Word of God, right? But yet I wonder today how many of us don't have our swords with us, just like the Israelites. You know, I just wonder how many Christians today have given up for whatever reason. You know, when I drive by and see a building that used to be a church, I always wonder what happened. Where they went wrong, where they allowed the devil to get a foothold in the church, and what happened that the church failed. I wonder, where were the prayer warriors? And yet I'm reminded here in verse 19 that the whole country of Israel had no blacksmith to be found. You know, I just wonder how many of us aren't doing the basics with the Word of God. How many of us are not reading it daily? How much we're not praying? We're not sticking to the basics of keeping our swords sharp so that we can do battle when the time comes. So that we're not looking physically at how many are numbered against us, but that we're keeping our eyes on the Lord. I think the Sunshiners went, last month to the Billy Graham Library. When I was listening to Frank talk about it, one of the exhibits that were there he was talking about was they had a list of the people that were in place doing what God had told them to so that Billy Graham got saved. And I think it went back through 7 or 8 generations from the way he talked. And I think, you know, a lot of those people on that list probably, by the world standard, were nobodies. They probably didn't have fame or fortune, but yet they were doing what God told them to do, and they were in the right place at the right time to affect that one person, to affect the next person, so that everybody was in place, so that Billy Graham had the right person to witness to him, that Billy Graham would accept the Lord, and that Billy Graham could become a great evangelist for the Lord. You know, and I think about our lives today, and I think, you know, a lot of times I think we just get comfortable in life. When life is good, the blessings are rolling in. Sometimes we let ourselves get focused on the blessings and let our prayer life slide, let our Bible time slide. We allow the devil to get us so busy with the things of life that we don't stick to the basics. Same way the Israelites here had forgotten the basics of having a blacksmith. You know, it tells us there that in verse 20 that they went to the Philistines to sharpen them, to do their farming so they could have food. They went to the enemy. They were dependent on the enemy for their basics, something as simple as plowing the fields for their food. And yet I think about us today in our present day world, how many of us are dependent on the enemy instead of being dependent on the Lord? How much we forget about God when things are going good. When it's time for us to pray, when it's time for us to read our Bible, even just taking a few minutes out of our day and saying, Lord, thank you for everything that you've blessed me with. Thank you for helping me overcome my hurdles. Thank you for being with me today and not forsaking me. You know, we all, I think, take for granted the country that we were born in. There's a lot wrong with the United States, but there's a lot right with it too. On Friday, there was a gentleman here, Brother James from West Africa. He is a native pastor there who is here doing fundraising efforts for the Lord's opened up for them over in Ghana, a great ministry. He was a Muslim. He was converted to Christianity and become a pastor there. Started a church in his hometown. And God has blessed that church to the point now that they have a school ministry. So they went to their local school, went to the headmaster and said, hey, can we come in and speak to the kids about Christ? Headmaster said, yeah, you can have two hours a week. It's yours. I thought, boy, that's not America. From that one school and 2 hours a week, their ministry has turned into 50 schools a week that they're into in the country. But the doors are open and they say, come on in. We want to hear about Christ. Tell our kids about Christ. They want to have a big youth crusade, and that's why he's here in America. He's trying to raise funds so that he can build a dormitory. They had acquired some land at low cost, and they want to have a national youth camp for the country. The only place they currently have that they can do it at is the university, and they charged them $40,000 a week just for the use of the dormitories. That doesn't include food, activities, electricity, water, just rent for somewhere for them to have to sleep. And yet, as I think back across America, I think, you know, that used to be us. We used to have our arms open and say, come on in, talk to us in schools. Yet we've turned our back on the Lord. We've kicked him out of our schools. And I just wonder how much of that is because we're like the Israelites. They had no smith for their swords. I wonder how much of that's because of us and that we've not done our part in prayer and in studying the Word of God and letting our opinions be known. How much of it is because we've compromised, we've gone the easy route. Life is good, and we forgot about the Lord. You know, as I think back about this chapter and I try to imagine what the Israelites were in, I'm sitting there thinking, I guess they were scared. If you're outnumbered 5-1, and you don't even have a sword to fight with. And I think, well, that kind of describes us a lot of times. As Christians now, we're in the minority in this country. I saw a story on Yahoo News this week that said, Satanism claims more people than Christianity does in the United States. Especially when you look at the under 40 crowd. And I think, man, where have we failed? Where did we go wrong? And I think it just comes back to the basics. For the Israelites, it was a blacksmith. For us, I think it's just spending our time in the Bible and God's Word and praying. And I think, you know, have you ever thought about what happens when you're not at the place you're supposed to be, that God's called you to be when you're supposed to be there? Have you ever thought what doesn't happen because we're not there? God puts us all in a particular place at a particular time for a particular purpose so that something can happen. We may not like our job, but we're there for a reason. We may not like where we live, but God's put us there for a reason. We are there to influence those around us. Someone will come across our path that needs to see the Jesus in us. And you know, I just think that the blacksmiths that were put in Israel failed to use their talents for something to make the swords and spears, to do the shares, the coulters, the axe. Yeah, I think, what about our talents today? Yeah, we don't think a whole lot about blacksmithing today. There's not a whole lot around us. But what are the talents that God's given each one of us? What are we supposed to be doing? God's given us all a particular talent for a particular reason. Where would the United States be today if we were all praying, reading the Bible like we were supposed to, and letting others see Jesus in us on a daily basis? Not just on Sundays, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Are we going to be like the Israelites and be in battle and have nothing to fight with because we gave it up? You know, it doesn't say that the Philistines came and stole the blacksmiths. It just said they didn't have any. You know, I think that's the way we are a lot today. We have our Bibles. Nobody's taking them from us. But a lot of times we just don't take the time to sit down and read them. And it's nobody's fault but our own. We find ourselves in the same situation that Israel was in. After all, they do say history repeats itself. And the main point of my message today is I just want us to take to heart and think about our lives. What have we given up? They had no blacksmith. What do we have? What have we given up on our own that we have allowed others to take from us? Not that we have forcibly had to give up our Bibles, but how many of us just let them sit on the coffee table and collect dust? that we have in essence just given up. The Lord's equipped us with everything we need, but a lot of times we fail to use what He's given us.